Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here. We got a great show coming down the pike for you. Just pull up an easy chair and get your book, and let's begin where we left off last night with part three of the four creatures of Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10. Now, these creatures each were different in their nature. We covered that extensively. And the reason that we are looking into the appearance of these creatures is because they have a message for Jacob Israel. Jacob Israel should rejoice and be exceedingly glad because of the things that are hidden from the world. Hidden, the hidden things belong to those who have the ability to search out the things that are given for kings to search out. In the visions of my head, Ezekiel said, verse 4, I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. It's a great cloud, a fire unfolding itself, and brightness was about it. And out of the mist thereof, as the color of amber, and out of the mist of fire. So then, out of the mist thereof, it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance, as they had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet. And the sole of the feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under the wings of their four sides, and they had four faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. And for the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. And herein lies the mysteries of the four in the course as the sun travels the heavens, and the purpose of the zodiac, the 12 symbols that are in the heavens. All that Ezekiel saw was the constellations and the stars in the position to depict these chain of animals bound to the 12 constellations as they revolve in connection to the point of the sacred circle in the sky. Now, to bring forth the knowledge to earth, astronomy, that is, the position of the stars as they relate to the heavens, and astrology, the interpretation of what each means. How would they have known these things unless they were taught the sacred science many, many thousands of years ago? No one knows where these images or the animal bands of the zodiac, or what we call in the Hebrew, and we gave you the number for that, which was in the book of Job, chapter 38. And we're going by once again to conclude what the word Nazaroth means. Remember, I gave you verse 31 as we were studying in tape 2. This is now the follow-up to that scripture, because we left there and we went to other places. I'm coming back to verse 32. Now, in verse 31, the challenge went out to Job, can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? The word Pleiades is Strong's number 3598. You need to look it up. They knew about the seven sister stars. The seven is the complete cycle, and the word seven itself means complete, and eight is a new beginning, of course, you know that. And so then the Father has written in the constellation of Orion, and he has placed in the constellation the bands of these animal images and creatures that Ezekiel had privilege to be caught up to see this revolving, beautiful, beautiful, in a spirit. He was seeing actually the movement of the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth in relationship to the 12 constellations as they turn through the heavens. And as each cycle began or ended, Ezekiel was able to see this. Can you loose the bands of Orion? He was told. Loose the bands, or can you, do you know how or to unlock the secrets of the bands in the constellations, being 12? Well, it just so happens to have 12 sons of Jacob. Isn't that ironic that Jacob would have exactly 12 sons of the birth inheritance covenant people that would scatter as the stars in the heavens and as the sands of the sea become an innumerable company of people, a host of people, a nation and nations of people scattered systematically throughout the earth as the Father had instructed them to go in Numbers chapter 2. And so then he taught Aaron, Moses taught the effects of astrology and astronomy, the positioning of the stars in relationship to the heavenly circle, and the movements of the bands, or to establish the fact that each one had a birth sign, as we talked about in the book of Exodus chapter 28, that the birth signs were located and recorded, and each one specifically had a birth sign assigned to a birthstone. Now, he told Moses to make the pattern as he had seen it in the heavens. Moses, too, long before Ezekiel was caught up in the Spirit to renew this covenant, and the Father was just instructing Ezekiel as he was instructing Moses to look into the constellations. And they're written, amazingly, the scriptures. Here's these little tidbits of information to unlock our understanding that we may know that written in the heavens before the foundation of the world was the exact scenario that has played out in a flesh-related realm of a man named Jacob, descending from Isaac, the sons of Saxton, or Laughter, from Abraham, came forth the 12 bands of the covenant written upon the table of Almighty God's heart as he declared the end from the very beginning by placing in the heavens the cycles and bands and the images of these animals, and only the wise could figure it out. Now, Babylon had a very, very advanced knowledge of the constellations. They were gifted astrologers. Now, why would the children of darkness, and that's what Babylon is, symbolizes Babel, confusion. Why would they enter in here? Well, isn't it true that the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light? Isn't the children of light being told today, as they were then, that these ancient arts and crafts and signs are demonic witchcraft. We shouldn't even go there to dabble in the stars or the search of the stars or to try to comprehend the meaning of the stars and their relationship and their placement when Almighty God Himself said, I have created heaven and earth and all the stars, the sun and the moon, and hung them there and positioned them, and I have called all of them by name. Not only does He know their number, He knows their name. Now, wouldn't it serve the purpose if we knew mathematically the position of stars as we travel in relationship to our journeys upon the earth, that the mariners of old time knew the importance of looking up to the heavens? Well, that's why, ladies and gentlemen, when they teach those with gifted abilities to know their positioning and how to shoot the stars, as they say, how to map the stars, and how to relate the transfix of the longitude-latitude relationship to the points on earth, only your wise men know that. Your crafted men, meaning that now in the space age, this technology is absolutely this knowledge of the stars, the systems, and their whereabouts, and their locations, and their travels, and the pinpoint positions are absolute of the utmost of importance to relationship to travel in space, or anything related to hanging anything in space. We must have a guided knowledge of the positioning of the star systems. Now, it is a well-known fact, very documented, that the missing day when the moon and the sun both stood still in antiquity in the time of Joshua, and the book of Joshua records it exactly, that God stayed the sun and the moon, and that would have been what is determined in time in relationship, a day that was stayed. And that was found exactly as they tried to correct their computers because of their relationship to the re-entry of the spacecraft. They were trying to get a fix on time. They needed this, and it's very valuable. And when they were told by a Bible-believing NASA employee in Maryland, stationed as an affixed affiliate to NASA, this company that this man worked for, he put in the suggestion when they were at a standstill because they couldn't work out the formulation or the triangulation of the re-entry ship that was to supposed to come back from the moon. Well, this man read the scripture in Joshua when those corrections were added to the mathematical triangulation, then everything clicked, it worked, showing you that our Father knew before the foundation of the world exactly the end, and those who dabble, if you will, into the science of the occult, meaning the hidden things, we have been systematically dumbed down, became fearful and ignorant and superstitious, and therefore the smart people of the world rule the world and own the world, and we are just little pawns in their hands. We're like the actors on the strings that they pull. We dance to the music of the strings. Whereas we all should have this knowledge, and as it is recorded in the Bible, we are all systematically destroyed for the lack of this knowledge, and because we reject the knowledge through fear, ignorance, and superstition, being told that astrology and astronomy is a false science, when in reality it's the only true science that there is. Religion is what's false. Fearful, superstitious, and ignorant. Well, Where did all this come from? What started this ignorant religious belief system that we have and we've become accustomed to or adapted to? Who started it and why? Well, if you go back to one of the oldest church institutions upon the planet, it's the Catholic Church. They advise you not to look into the heavens and not to search the heavens, and yet they themselves are now perhaps the largest employer of astrologers outside the United States government in the world. You mean a religious institution such as the Catholic Church would have an advanced, college-trained, educated, specialized specialist in astronomy and astrology? Yes. They are interested in what goes on in relationship to what's above us. We were told to look for signs in the stars, in the moon, and in the sun. And yet we don't look for those signs because we're dumbed down and told that they're witchcraft and we shouldn't dabble in that black art, as they call it. How stupid, how ignorant, how fearful, and how misaligned can our understanding be? We've got to break out of this box. And today, as more and more people are learning more and more, much knowledge is being increased until the point where the promise is that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of Yahweh. Oh, what a happy day. Wouldn't it be wonderful, nice, convenient for everyone to know a little bit about what you know, if you know what I know about Yahweh, here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept, and faith increasing in the last days to pour out the knowledge that is always for the saving, not the destruction. If a child of yours asks for an egg, would you give it a snake to replace it? And yet the snake symbol is located in a certain constellation as Draco the serpent, the dragon. And yet there, as they band the stars, formulated the Messiah, a man, standing in the heaven, taking up a serpent and handling it. It has been around since the beginning of time. No one knows where that information came from, and yet written in the stars for everyone to see here and ask for the old path. And instead of that, they have been dumbed down to a religious bell box with a roof on top of it where you'll never be able to see the stars. And did you know that the Feast of Tabernacles was for those who could spend time a week, 8 days, as a matter of fact, to look into the heavens and search the heavens? And that a particular tribe specialized in signs and seasons was the tribe of Issachar. And Dan, the northern tribe of Dan, was noted as the noble navigators of the cosmic sea, gifted in reading the stars, particularly the North Star and the Polar Star, as it relates to the travel or the mariner navigation. And Dan is a pioneer in this field. We've had all this information stripped from the house of Israel, and we're over here listening to Benny Hinn, the windpecker, blowing upon us, and we are trying to appease by getting on national television so we all fall back like a big wind hit us. And what all that is fakery and witchcraft and power of suggestion, and there's where your witchcraft and witchery comes in, not in the heavens. The heavens will not lie to you. They'll give you exactly what is written there for your learning and for your understanding. Verse 32, Job 38. Can you bring forth Massa Roth? Strong's number 4216. I have challenged many, many people over the years to just look up that word. It'll change your way of thinking about being told that astrology is witchcraft. When Daniel himself was considered a wise man, and he was the chief astrologer. Astrology means the interpretation of what the stars mean, reading the stars. Don't you know that many wise men in the Bible read stars and positioned stars and gave interpretation of their understanding? They were all astrologers. Christ, perhaps, was the most noble of all of understanding exactly what the stars were saying in relationship to his covenants and the things that were written in the covenants that would come to pass. Everything he did was in relationship to the movement of the stars and the planets in relationship to his cause. The scriptures are filled, the books are filled, specifically books that are chosen for this purpose. Job is one of the oldest. It is, matter of fact, Job predates Genesis, the first book in the Bible. Written should have been Job. It should be placed exactly in the front of the Bible. See, the time of Moses. Moses is a later addition. And when he wrote about Bereshit, or in the beginning, Moses had to jump many, many prophets before him, and many, many ages before him, as he was given some insight to actually what happened, and he was coded. So the book of Genesis is a very unique book, written only to, for, and about the house of Israel, and for the purposes of coming under obedience to the law, as thus saith Yahweh. Now, when you begin to take heed, when you begin to pray and fast, when you begin to keep festivals, you see, in the eighth day of Tabernacles, Christ stood up in the New Testament and cried with a loud voice. After 8 days of fellowship, or after seven, the eighth day he stood up and said, "If any man hunger, let him come to me." Ladies and gentlemen, that's a message that the feast and festivals are for those who are hungry and thirst after righteousness. That's why that I have said that I have learned more through the collection of Israelites who present themselves where Almighty Yahweh pours out His Spirit upon His sons and daughters, and they begin to prophesy and testify and relate line upon line, precept upon precept, but through a little, here a little, and there a little, through each one, and then in the whole, as you go away from the festival, you are loaded and blessed and energized with the information that comes from the collective consciousness of many. We're made perfect in the whole. We know in part. Almighty Yahweh uses this technique and encourages to assemble at least and to communicate more than that, because the Bible says those that fought off and upon him did communicate together. And then the book of remembrance was written. So this book is a book of remembrance to remind you to assemble yourself and fail not to assemble yourself and come nigh to be filled with the good things that Yahweh places a little part in each heart that comes and assembles in fellowships. And then you draw from the nectar, the sweet rivers of living water that flow out of the belly of those that come. Well, I'm down at the bottom of that. I'm coming back to give you the instruction and the meaning of Mazaroth and its association. And I'm going to talk about before in the relationship in the heavens and show you that it was in the cosmos that he was seeing these elements. Yahweh bless you. Hang on. We're coming right back. Welcome back. Shepherd Kyle, Pastor Buddy, glad to have you in here with us tonight. It is a beautiful night. Praise Yahweh. A good time to study and to learn a few things about the word Nazareth. Now, remember I said that the word Nazareth is Strong's number 4216. Can you bring forth the Nazareth? Can you, actually, it's what he's saying, can you describe the circle in the heavens? Can you write in the 12 seasonal changes? Can you loose the bands, is what he asked Job. Job must have been training under the mighty hand of Yahweh as a master at astrology and astronomy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go someplace, you got to have all this knowledge. It's a prerequisite to know. Now, I've always said, if you're worried about where you're going, shouldn't you worry more about where you've been? I said last night, there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. So if you want to analyze yourself or to get a fix on yourself in life, find out, spend more time looking back than you look forward. The Bible said, take no thought for tomorrow. But it didn't say for you not to look back at your past. Go back into the past, because that is the building blocks or the learning blocks for your future endeavors. To know where you're going, you would have to know where you've been. This will give you an indication of your starting point, because your starting point on your journey is a circle. You're going to go full circle, and so ultimately you will wind up exactly where you started from. Now, however long that takes. Now, let me show you something here. I want to show you the purpose of the symbols that are to be understood by connecting the sequence of the pictures in story form of the constellations, or what we would determine in the Greek word, zodiac. Where Christians say, oh my God, that's witchcraft. See how dumb they are? See how ignorant? When the Father's written the book, it's right in the book. The very thing that they fear by religion, religious priests have changed the Word of God. They've been given up to worship the host of heaven. And the Creator is denied His existence, as He is the originator of everything that is there, not man. See, the Babylonians are guilty of doing something, and they have now become guilty by association of the Zodiac, or the Maseroth. What they did, they changed the connecting entrance to the sacred circle. Now, I'll show you how they did this. They, since they lived in the age of the realm of Aries, they took it upon themselves to say that they were the beginning of this magnificent knowledge that was interpreted, and they broke the sacred circle in the constellation of Aries, and they began a false science, they begin a false astrologers, they became false astrologers, and they gave a warped interpretation of the signs. They couldn't get it together. They didn't know. Now, if you want to get it together and you want to know what the exact entrance point is, think again for the meaning of the word Sphinx. In Egyptian, it means beginning and end. So then, the Sphinx is a symbol or a code decoder. It's just like the stone that was found by the men of Alexander as they were trying to decode the hieroglyphics that they found, the coated stone, the Rosetta Stone, they call it. This was the key to the tumblers of a language, to open it up that they might begin to read the language that was written upon the stone. And so, therefore, great knowledge leaped out of the stone. The Bible said, if these hold the beast, the stones will cry. That's what it's talking about. There's more discoveries yet to be discovered. Of course, we're talking in particular the major gem that could be found would be the Ark of the Covenant. The golden box that was made and hidden by wise men who knew that Babylon, the evil ones of Babylon, was going to come in and sack Jerusalem. They already knew this in prophetic language. They knew that it was written in the heavens. All this was watched by the watchers. That's what it means. So what's the connection? Well, what symbol is the Sphinx? It is a body of a lion and a head of a woman. So there's your, where you break into what we call the sacred circle to begin your understanding. Now, great man of the past, Bullinger, in the 1800s, my favorite, and The Witness of the Stars. E. Raymond Kalp gives us a very, very simple book when he gave us, I believe, the book, The Glory of the Stars. And I have both of them in my possession. And you would do well to get a copy of these. They are very, very, very good. And also The Gospel and the Stars by Joseph Swiss. He was a German that wrote even before Bullinger, who wrote in the 1800s, or late 1800s. So you see, this information by our learned Israelite brethren have been given but rejected by the church. Anybody that dabbles in this, they consider them to be masters of astrology or witchcraft inventors. And they were told to watch, be wary, and stay away from it. And so, therefore, they completely dumb down the sheep to where they're just little guest sheep, never an inquiring sheep, never a hungry sheep, because they're fed on the milk. And they become unskillful in the Word of God. They don't have any ability to interpret the hidden mysteries. Now, let me give you, as we break into the circle, now let me give you a very quick rundown of the 12 signs and show you just briefly. I'll make this briefly. Now, I have all these on 13 hours of cassette tape and 26 hours in the video. We have 26 hours of this teaching as we go systematically from one sign to another, from one system to another, from one band to another. Let's go to Virgo. Now, Virgo is depicted as a virgin in the reference in the scriptures, and she's noted in Revelation chapter 12, among other places. There's other places where she is noted. She is the woman in the consolation. Now, notice what she has. She has, in one hand, she has a branch. Well, isn't it recorded in the book of Isaiah? Behold, he shall bring forth and come forth as a branch. Well, there's the prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, written in the stars before the beginning. Before the beginning. And certainly way before the end time, this was a known science that the ancients always knew that there was a woman in the constellation of Virgo holding a branch and in the other a sheaf of grain or seed, always associated with the child. In Egyptian, it is Shanush Nu. And the princess Nunu in Egyptian ancient history says that she was a famous queen, and she advocated the search by the masters, and the information she gathered around her as a queen, a wise queen, she gathered around her those who knew the interpretation of the stars. She was called Nunu. I have a daughter named Makisha, but her nickname was Nunu. For some reason, the Spirit told me to call her Nu, and I did. And that's the reason. In the Zard son that was to come through the Virgin, there is the symbol of the incarnation of God literally upon the earth. A wonderful event marked in the constellation of Virgo. There it is for all to see. It's there right now. All you got to do is quit letting the church, earth, world, and things of that nature dumb you down. Now, the second one would be in relationship to the signs. Let's look at Sagittarius for just a moment. In the oldest pictures of the zodiac, there is a cherubim, and this symbol is situated one-third of the way around the zodiac circle. One-third. Now remember, 3 times 4 equals 12, so we're dividing on a 30-degree angle. So every 90 degrees, you've got a angle represented of a 90 degree. And, of course, 4 nines is 36. It gives you a complete circle. Well, notice this. It had the body of both the lion and the bull with wings of an eagle and the head of a woman. And Sagittarius is the symbol of the incarnation. So when you get over to the sign of Sagittarius, this is depicted in the animal image that is forecast from the signs, and there it is, that he was both God and man. And the animals representing the four corners of the heavens and symbolizing the aspects of God's redemptive work on the earth, he's poised with his arrow drawn and pointed at the heart of the scorpion underneath him, as it is represented in the Southern Cross. And it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, how that the Father has painted us a mural in the heavens. And then those who are ignorant, fearful, and superstition, too dumb to look up. Now, let's go around again. Capricorn, the one that I was referring to a while ago, the goat with the tail of a fish. To the Hebrews, the goat was the sin offering, and Capricorn is poised with his foot under him and his head bowed as if he is now submitting to the sword of death. The second half of the symbol is the tail of a fish, and it is the tail that would set the captives free. That's what it symbolizes. He came to set the captives free. How does a fish escape when it's in trouble? By the swish of the tail. And that's symbolized with the Capricorn, the suffering one. Although they killed him, the tail of the fish age brought him back to life. And it's wonderful to know all these things. Now, Taurus the bull, 12 o'clock. His horns symbolizing God's judgment pointed to the earth. Now notice this. The bull at Taurus at 12 o'clock is in the north. Here comes the rage or the wrath of the bull. Dan is situated in the north. Dan Mark, the feather's extension of the house of Israel to the North Pole. Dan was symbolized, taken out of the sacred circle, because we have other tribes to move in to take his position within the circle. He moves outside the circle, symbolized as the judge. So Dan is the judge. And from this direction comes the wrath or the judgment of Almighty God. It's a final act. And Taurus the bull, symbolizing God's judgment pointed to the earth. One stabs the head of a shepherd, Aquila, who holds his flock. Christ the Good Shepherd received in our place God's absolute judgment. In the bull's neck is the Pleiades, the investigation of the judges who came back to earth after the resurrection to judge the earth with Christ at his second coming. Remember, I told you that he raised up 12,000 out of each tribe as a bride type, took them to heaven, and is returning one more time with his bride for his children of the bride to receive, and is coming back as the raging bull, taking vengeance, stamping underneath his feet all that will not submit to his wonderful love and his power and his judgment and serve him. Gemini the twin. Now, in the Greek mythology, Castor, and you know Paul rode the ship that was dedicated to the consolation of Castor and Pollux. It even names it in the book of Acts. So then, Gemini is the twin, and Castor is the suffering redeemer, and Pollux is the king. It is a symbol of the first and second coming of Christ. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Father wrote these things before the foundation of the world? Cancer, the crab. Originally, it was the fortress, the impregnable enclosure of protection. And in Egypt, it was the sarab, the beetle, that hatched from the ground and flew into heaven, the strong one, with the will to understand the full meaning of the riddle of the Sphinx, the study of the meaning of numbers in scriptures called biblical numerics or biblical numerology. This study is intertwined into theology and history of the Bible because of the language and the way it was written in Hebrew and Greek. These two languages share the aspect of using these letters for words, and also the system for counting, the spiritual meaning for the numbers that continuously show up in Scripture, intentionally put there by God Himself to be discerned by those who have knowledge. And here is that in a brief symbolic primary number. One, the symbol of unity. It is the supreme number, the beginning of all languages. Two, the first number that can be divided from itself. It symbolizes division or indifference, as in the two towers of Babylon. Three, divine protection, a trinity of link of reference to these three are one. Also refers to, as it comes to, the 3 times 3 equaling 9, or the resurrection number after the number 8, which is new beginning. And after 10, the numbers only repeat. So if we go to God's order, 12 is the symbol of his eternal government, and the government of Dan, the judge, at the top, concludes that at 12 o'clock, and this is where we get the term, at 12 o'clock high, is where we get the symbol of the Great One, coming back in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not his wonderful gospel. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the evidence is here, and there is evidence on the sun, evidence on the moon, evidence on Mars, and no doubt there's evidence all over the creation that Almighty God has left for the sons of men, where that they dare to go in relationship to the wonderful prophecies that he gives. You can search heaven above, and heaven was searched. You search the earth, and the earth was searched. You search beneath the earth, and beneath the earth was searched. Nothing could improve on the perfection of these wonderful truths that were written in the stars. It is declared from the beginning, where he made sure that we understood the end. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll assure you at everything that has been prophesied in the heavens, written in the stars, before the advent of man. When we were brought forth, the stars were hanging high. And I'll assure you one thing, and that's for sure, that everything that is written in the heavens will come to pass according to the stars that is given the message in the end time. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that the Father has given us the power and the wisdom and the knowledge to seek after Him in the metaphysical, the science world of reality, everything declaring itself and proven by science that our God is real? Don't you know that the heavens declare the work of His hand? And He numbered the stars and called them all by name. I believe it's wonderful. I think it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. This is the third in the series of the four creatures. If you'd like to have our address tonight, let me give it to you. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. If you would like to write me, you can use that address and I'll get your letter. I would like to also invite you to call area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to have a track or a CD or a cassette or a videotape of this message, you can have it by just simply writing or calling for that information, the Shepherd's Call. We'll be delighted to send it out to you. Praise Yahweh. Now, let me tell you about my email address for those of you that are listening by computer. You can do so by emailing Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, at www.gap.net. That's Buddy, lowercase letters, at www.gap.net. Now, let me give you a word about our sponsor, Dr. Gary. Miracle 2. It is a design by the Father that was given to an old preacher boy down in Louisiana. I've spoken with him. I've had him on the show. I've interviewed him. And he is a man that really fears his Creator. And he designed this soap especially for you to use and benefit. It's all natural, nothing chemically harsh, harmful to the skin. You can bathe in it. You can use it for shampoo, for cleaning, various things. You can dilute it and use it. And one bottle goes amazingly a long way, if you will. Dilute it with water and follow directions, you'll find that you've got a valuable cleaning agent in your cleaning closet, wherever you keep your cleaning materials. It stands out, smells good, has a refreshing smell. You can tell there's no animal products in it to irritate your skin or the clothes that you wear. You can actually use it to wash your clothes. It is a wonderful product. Also contained in it is the neutralizer, which is good stuff. So order this from Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Or from Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. All of these are toll-free numbers. Both these numbers are toll-free. You can call, place your order, and tell them that Pastor Buddy sent you. I'll be much obliged if you would do that for me tonight. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night with part four of the cosmic makeup in the heavens and painted by the loving hand of our Father. Tomorrow night on Truth Radio. I'll see you in the morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then stay tuned for my good buddy Clay. He'll be right behind me at 8 o'clock with Truth Radio. Yahweh bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.